In the meantime, we'll speak to Mark Oswald. He's the chief economist at ADM Investor Services. Joins me now from London. Good to have you with us on the programme. Let's just begin with Rishi Sunak's comments of the country will experience profound economic challenges. He seems to be preparing the ground for some pretty difficult choices for not only his government and a reality that the British public will find difficult perhaps to swallow in the coming weeks.
Yes, he does. I mean, you know, there are profound economic challenges. The cost of living and energy crisis, which is not only gripping the UK, but also more broader problems for the UK economy. Labour shortages due to skills shortages and the general challenges of managing that transition away from the EU. So these are all actually sort of confluencing for the time being and making that even more difficult.
And indeed, you know, inflation is hovering around 10%. We haven't seen that for a couple of decades in the UK. Add to that the fact that he also has to try and, you know, mend a fractured Tory party. But in terms of the fiscal responsibility, it's all very well to talk about spending, but you have to rejuvenate the economy. And to do that, you either have to, I presume, save money or it requires cash injections. Where are those cash injections going to come from? Are we looking at corporate windfall taxes or is the public expected to pay for all of this? The money has to come from somewhere.
Well, that's sort of partially the problem. What's been mooted before he won is that Mr. Hunt would basically extend the energy windfall tax, which is actually not necessarily that positive, because the more you tax the energy companies, the less likely they are to invest. And in business investment is precisely what the UK needs. It's very sluggish. The second thing which is being proposed is a windfall tax on the banking sector, largely because there is a feeling that they're not passing on the increased rates that are happening in the UK to savers. But then again, they're already taxed quite highly. And you know, in a situation of rising interest rates, you don't want to then actually hobble the availability of credit to the UK economy.
And, of course, you know, austerity is not a word that the current government want to bring back into the conversation, but it might well be bandied around, and that the public response was very negative to it under the former Conservative Chancellor, George Osborne. But, you know, it perhaps is an inevitability, isn't it?
Well, there's a certain amount of it, but you have to also be very, very careful here. I think the one proposal which Mr. Sunak made while he was still previously Chancellor was that the measures to actually support the consumer sector in terms of the energy crisis should be targeted at those on lower incomes, which was not the case with Ms. Truss's proposals. And that's basically going to have to be the thrust of whatever they do. Where there are going to be cutbacks, it really needs to ensure that you're not harming the lowest people on the lowest incomes in society who are already stretched to their absolute limits.
Mark, just bear with me for one second. We've just got some breaking news now coming in that Rishi Sunak has been appointed as the British Prime Minister. He's been given that permission by King Charles III to form the next government. And, of course, we will get more on that as we see Mr. Sunak leave Buckingham Palace. Mark, obviously, we do now officially have a new Prime Minister. Rishi Sunak, in the days of COVID and during the pandemic, used very much a big state approach in terms of looking after the community at large, somewhat perhaps sensitive, unheard of for a Conservative Chancellor. Unusual for Conservative to spend. We sort of tend to think of the Labour Party having that sort of trait. Do you think that could be something that we may see more of Prime Minister Sunak doing in the weeks ahead? You know, the big approach to help all sectors of British society?
There's going to be limits. Now, I think we ought to remember that actually, as Chancellor, he was pressured by other members of the government not to be quite so hasty. So as much as he oversaw a lot of spending during COVID, he was trying to end the furlough scheme a lot earlier than was going to be necessary. And some of the other forbearance measures So he is, you know, he is on the hawkish side. So as much as I expect to see some increased spending, I think it is going to be rather limited, and that's going to be the biggest challenge for the UK economy, because Ms. Truss wasn't wrong in the point that the UK really does need a good kickstart to its economy, because it really is lagging a lot of its G7 peers.
And, of course, at the end of the day, the markets are very clear about how they feel. There's been a slight, you might say, improvement, encouragement of the appointment of Rishi Sunak. What should we be looking at in the coming either weeks or months into the way the government are approaching the economy here in the UK and how the markets are reacting to them? Because, obviously, they're intertwined.
Yes, I mean, there's two aspects to it. One, they will really want to see that the Conservative Party is acting in a unified way. If there is any resurgence of the sort of backstabbing that we saw both under Mr. Johnson and obviously under Ms. Truss, that confidence which is being, or that benefit of the doubt which is being given to Mr. Sunak at the moment, will soon evaporate. The second thing is going to be how the public react and how the Conservative backbenchers also react to the measures which are announced. Because if they sound basically that like the UK is going to have to go through a long period which is quite stagflationary, where there isn't much in the way of stimulus for the economy and there are increasing burdens both for businesses, even if it's particular businesses, and consumers, the resurgence of disunity seems to me very, very likely.
Well, we shall see what happens, certainly, for the time being. It's been good to speak to you, Mark Oswald there from ADM Investor Services in London. Thank you very much for your time. Let's cross over to Andrew Simmons in Downing Street. And, Andrew, obviously, we're breaking the news now that we're hearing that Rishi Sunak has been appointed by King Charles III to form His Majesty's government.
That's right. He is Prime Minister officially now, and he'll be getting in his car, his limousine, very soon. In fact, only minutes away to drive over here to his new home, number 10 Downing Street, the third Prime Minister the UK has had in only 50 days. Quite a remarkable sequence of events. He has a massive task ahead of him. In actual fact, normally at this stage, you would see crowds gathering, lots of MPs gathering at both ends of Downing Street. On this occasion, there is no one here in the way of other than the media, simply because there's been an order put out for MPs not to be hand clapping their new Prime Minister on arrival at Downing Street, because this is a serious, rather sombre occasion where the economy is in a dangerous trouble and the mood has to be contrite. There has to be, this is the word that's coming out, that MPs must be very focused on listening to their new leader outline what lies ahead. And that doesn't sound good. It sounds as if there's going to be more belt tightening. There certainly sounds as if Rishi Sunak is going to get tough, tougher than Liz Truss in many ways, and possibly tougher than the stand-in Chancellor, the Finance Minister, Jeremy Hunt, has been in outlining a whole raft of measures that reversed what Truss wanted to do. Now, Truss, when she left, spelt out exactly what she'd wanted to do. She tried to make things sound positive in the sense that some of her measures were executed, national insurance, for example, being cut down somewhat, and the energy programme of subsidies for British people, but then she really didn't say sorry, and it was in a way a defiant sort of speech. She was fluent. It seemed that she was quite relaxed about her departure, but then she left without that apology. So really right now everyone is waiting here for Rishi Sunak to arrive and to spell out exactly what he plans to do. Soon he'll be driving out of Buckingham Palace.
And indeed, we'll come back to you in Downing Street as and when he arrives and when he speaks to Andrew Simmons there for us in Downing Street.